I have to confess, this is my very first time in Springfield. I've been to Missouri a few times, specifically St. Louis. The only thing I know about Springfield right now, well, there's two things. One is y'all have this place called Lambert's, and they throw rolls at you. If you're not from Springfield, apparently we got to check this place out. They literally throw rolls at you as you walk in the door at Lambert's. The other thing I know about Springfield is there's 38 places in the United States of America that claim to be called Springfield, 13 of which are cities, 11 of which are towns, and somehow 5 of which are actually in Wisconsin alone. I don't understand that. Apparently they're from Wisconsin too. Are y'all from Springfield, Wisconsin? That's what I thought. That's right. So y'all, it is such a joy and a privilege to be with you tonight. I flew in from Nashville, Tennessee this morning. That's where I'm from. That's where I've been living at least the last 11 years of my life. Has anybody ever been to Nashville by chance? All right, how many of you want to move to Nashville? Anybody? They say there's 80 young people in their 20s moving to Nashville every day. Someone just told me today they think it's the fastest growing city in the U.S. right now, which is a little bit terrifying because, well, anyways, I'm from Atlanta, and when a city grows too fast, it gets a little crazy, and the traffic becomes a nightmare. So Nashville hopefully will kind of hang on to its britches a little bit, not grow too fast. But I'll tell you, one of the things I love about Nashville is music. It's what brought me there 11 years ago as a freshman at Vanderbilt. How many of you guys are musicians, artists, or you just are avid fans of music? I have always stood in awe of artists and beauties, artists and musicians, because they serve what the church calls the transcendental of beauty. They had this way of piercing our hearts with their songs. How many of you guys have already experienced that tonight? It's an amazing gift, the gift of music. And it's definitely what brought me to Nashville. And what brought me here tonight is I have the privilege to talk about not just the beauty of music, although that's part of who I am, so you're going to hear about it, but the beauty and the glory and the limitless nature of God's love. God in Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who cares far more for our own good than even we do, which is a beautiful mystery to ponder. And growing up, I don't know about you guys, but it was kind of hard to understand that. But I got little glimpses of God's limitless love along the way. I'll never forget the day I was born. I'm just kidding. I've never remembered that moment a day in my life. I have a friend who claims to remember the day he was born. He says he remembers the color of paint on the hospital wall. I just don't believe him. I just can't possibly believe him. But my first strong memories began in elementary school. And in the fourth grade, my dad pushed me to play football. Any football players out there? Yeah, so at this point in my life, I wasn't much of an athlete. In fact, I was pretty clumsy on my feet. I didn't have a real strong desire to throw pads on and just pummel people left and right. Or get pummeled was more like it. Something about that didn't really sit right with me. So all throughout fourth grade, even into fifth grade, my dad just kept pushing me. He said, "Jimmy, don't give up. Eventually, you're going to lose that baby fat of yours. You're going to get into some shape, and you're going to love football." I'm going to actually show you a baby picture while I'm thinking about it. This is me, probably age 6 months. Yep, that's a bathtub. Apparently I guess photography couldn't go viral, 28 and a half years ago, but this picture won awards, all right? My great-grandfather took this picture, and he was like real into these magazines where you'd submit your original photography, and they'd give you an award if they thought it was worth something. And this one's like, sixth place, small town, probably Springfield, Arizona, for all I know, which is where he was from. I'll tell you what, there's something sweet about a baby. How many of you guys can agree with that? I just had a nephew who was born 8 or 9 months ago. Every time that little kid looks at me, my heart just melts. And you know what? There's something very easy about loving a baby. And I think probably as babies, we learn to receive love well. Some of us sort of bask in it, even at a young age. But I can tell you, by the time I was in fourth grade, I wasn't so sure about that love anymore when I was throwing on the football helmet and coming home crying every day and literally had snot stains up and down my shirt. That's how bad football was for me in fourth grade. It got a little bit better, and then it started to kind of plummet again in sixth grade because I was bullied. I was the first kid to show up in this Catholic school in probably 4 or 5 years who hadn't been there, you know, from birth, it felt like. And as a sixth grader, I felt very alone. I would come home oftentimes sitting at the kitchen table, and Mom would just comfort me. I had one friend that I can think of sixth grade year, and his name was Chase Oliver. He invited me over. We played Nintendo 64, we into the morning hours, and that was about the only positive memory I have from that entire year. Seventh grade rolled around. You got some Nintendo 64 fans out there. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. How do you even know what Nintendo 64 is? It came out when I was in middle school. Get out of here. Get out of here. And high school rolled around, and suddenly I was starting to feel a little bit more like myself. I loved Thomas's witness just a few moments ago. God has unique and unrepeatable gifts placed upon each of us. He wants us to be the unique and unrepeatable versions of ourselves. And in doing that, we glorify God. And it wasn't until I was 14 years old, on a retreat, beholding God face to face in adoration, that it finally dawned upon me that I was loved. That I was loved for who I was. Not what I did, not what I didn't do, not what I wanted to become one day, but just because of who I was as a beloved son of God the Father. And this began to really unfold in my life and in my heart all throughout high school. I started to go to youth group pretty regularly. I never experienced a student-led conference until college, but all through high school, I sort of wrestled with my sinfulness, but also with God's love. And I knew that I wanted his love to win out. I wanted to believe in the limitless mercy, the limitless glory, the limitless love of Jesus Christ. And every so often, he would give me profound glimpses of that love, like I hope is happening for so many of us over the course of this weekend. But you know, sometimes it's difficult to see Jesus as a good shepherd when life gets difficult. I went off to college. I ended up at Vanderbilt for 4 years. Really, things just kept getting better in my personal life, but my family life started to kind of break down. I could hear Mom and Dad talking more and more about getting divorced. They eventually did the summer after I graduated from college. But coming home for holidays was difficult. I remember my freshman year being about the only Catholic that I knew. All of my friends were either evangelical Protestants, many of whom thought I was going to hell because I was Catholic. The rest of my friends were atheists and agnostics who thought I was crazy for having any sense of morality, much less a life of faith at all. So again, I'm feeling alone. Freshman year led into sophomore year. And before I knew it, I was spending a summer in Central America. And I was seeing God's love in the lives of orphan children and abandoned mothers in Honduras. And after 7 weeks of missionary work, I realized what I was made for. I realized what all of us are made for, which is to give ourselves away in love. And in giving ourselves away, we find ourselves. Towards the very end of that trip, my best friend at the time and I, we went on a week-long backpacking trip through Guatemala. Has anybody ever been to Guatemala by chance? Guatemala is pretty amazing. I'm going to show this picture here of some of the most beautiful volcanoes I've ever seen. This is Lake Atitlan. You can imagine waking up to that, how your soul just seems to grow inside of you when you behold that kind of glory, that kind of beauty. And so my friend and I saw those two volcanoes off in the distance, and we thought, well, you know, we should probably attempt to climb those. I was 20 at the time. By the way, there's this part of the brain called the frontal lobe. It's your capacity for a reason, and it doesn't fully develop in a man until he's 25. You know what I'm saying? Gentlemen, smile and nod if you know what I'm talking about. Better yet, moms, ladies, smile and nod if you know what I'm talking about. I made a lot of mistakes up until age 25. Now I have no excuses at all. But at age 20, we think, let's just climb the volcano. What do we have to lose? Well, we start to hear all these stories of pretty innocent white American kids climbing this volcano and getting either stolen from, if not killed along the way. And we thought, well, we don't want to get stolen from. We certainly don't want to be killed by these bandits, apparently, who hang out in the mountainous region of this volcano. We thought, well, let's hire a Guatemalan guide, cough up some money, and just see what happens. And sure enough, the night before, we got food poisoning, the only time I've ever had food poisoning in my life. It's the worst feeling ever. Everything on your inside kind of wants to be on your outside. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so that's how it felt that morning as we woke up and decided to climb 12,000 feet high. It wasn't a climb up a volcano or up a mountain. It felt like a climb into the heavens. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm a football player. I used to be. I know how to do this, right? All those stadium steps, all the Stairmasters, all the workouts, all the early morning runs, I got this. Well, we begin the climb, and like literally 30 minutes in, I'm ready to collapse. Ready to absolutely collapse. It takes 5 hours to get to the top of this volcano. Would you believe it? When we got to the top, we were in a thick cloud. We couldn't see anything. Pretty disappointing. You can imagine the disappointment of these 20-year-old aged young men. And so we sit down on this colossal rock. We eat our lunch. We sort of lick our wounds a little bit and begin the descent back down the mountain. And within an hour, the clouds sort of broke open. We found ourselves at this point, this beautiful lookout point. And we beheld what looked like all of Guatemala, but really felt like all of creation. We were standing in awe of God's limitless glory. His power was palpable in that moment. Nothing in us doubted Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus, the one who never abandons his sheep. Who's never going to stop loving us. Who wants nothing more than to pour his very life into us. A few months later, I found myself on pilgrimage, this time in Munich, Germany. Anybody ever been to Munich, Germany? There's a few. And we actually missed Oktoberfest by like 2 weeks. But guess what? We caught Pope Benedict on his first and only Bavarian pilgrimage. Anybody a fan of Pope Benedict out there? Yeah, he's my boy. And sure enough, this is exactly what he looked like. This picture was taken the day that I saw Pope Benedict for the very first time in my life. And I showed up 12 hours before he was supposed to speak in Marienplatz, which is downtown Munich. And sure enough, about an hour before he comes out, because I've been out there for 12 hours, I've got my front row seat. I've made friends with just about every German in town, it feels like. We've got this shift where one of us goes to get lunch or one of us goes to get the bathroom break, and we just kind of guard each other's spots, even though we don't have any clue what each other are saying, you know? And right about an hour before Pope Benedict arrived, there was this group of 50, 60 chefs with their top hats that somehow ended up right in front of us. I'm thinking, what is going on? You know, there's like some special blessing of chefs that day, which makes Father Leo, my good friend now, Father Leo, quite happy. You'll learn more about that tomorrow. But I can tell you in that moment, it didn't matter that I could only see half of Benedict because of these top hats. Because as he embraced all of downtown Munich that day, he embraced me. I felt embraced by the universal church. For the first time in my life, I thought to myself, not only would I happily live and die for love of Jesus Christ, I would happily live and die for love of his church. Jesus Christ and his church, who are inseparable. So only a couple of years after that, I decided to go to seminary, right at the same time that my parents got divorced. It was only a couple of years after that that my older brother, I'm the middle of three, by the way, older brother, younger sister, mom and dad, married for 27 years. They've been divorced now for about 7. But when I was 25, my brother was 27. He had been experimenting with a whole lot of drugs and alcohol and promiscuous living for so long that it almost felt like a matter of time before he was going to fall, deep enough in that it would take his life. And we got a phone call on the Monday after Thanksgiving 2011. It was actually my dad calling me from Atlanta saying, Jimmy, he's gone. You've probably had an experience like that, or some of you have experience the death of a loved one in the exact same way, and your whole world turns to gray. You sort of go numb. About 30 minutes later, I had the terrible privilege of telling my sister and feeling her collapse in my arms. And in a moment like that, where is Jesus the Good Shepherd? It's easy to see him in triumph. Where is he in tragedy? Is he with us? Quite frankly, I think the whole world wags their finger at us Christians and says, where is Jesus Christ in the midst of all of this suffering, all of this pain, war-torn nations, slavery, prostitution, abortion, the complete breakdown of what it means to be family? Where is Jesus in the midst of all of that? Do you know what our answer always has to be as Christians? He's on the cross. He goes before us. we can actually unite our suffering with him and help him redeem souls. I want to share a brief movie clip from one of my favorite of the Marvel series. This is the very first Captain America. I really believe that this scene... this scene really captures what it means to be a man for others, what it means to love sacrificially. Check it out.
Ladies, come on. My grandmother has more life in her, God rest her soul. Move it!
You're not really thinking about picking Rogers, are you?
I wasn't just thinking about it. It's a clear choice.
When you brought a 90-pound asthmatic onto my army base, I let it slide. I thought, what the hell? Maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil. Never thought you'd pick him.
Up!
Stick a needle in that kid's arm, it's gonna go right through him.
Come on, girls.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I am looking for qualities beyond the physical.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project? All the groveling I had to do in front of Senator What's-His-Name's committees?
Grant, yes, I know. I am well aware of your efforts.
Then throw me a bone. Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, Doctor. Win wars. Guts. Grenade!
Oh, my God! Get away! Get back!
The dummy grenade. All clear. Back in formation.
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
May I?
Yeah.
Can't sleep?
Get the jitters, I guess.
Me too.
Can I ask you a question?
Just one?
Why me?
I suppose that is the only question that matters. This is from Augsburg, my city. So many people forget that the first country the Nazis invaded was their own. You know, after the last war, that my people struggled. They felt weak, they felt small. And then Hitler comes along with the marching and the big show and the flags and the... And he hears of me, my work, and he finds me. And he says, you. He says, you will make us strong. Well, I am not interested. So he sends a head of Hydra, his research division, a brilliant scientist by the name of Johann Schmidt. Now, Schmidt is a member of the inner circle. And he's ambitious. He and Hitler share a passion for occult power and Teutonic myth.
Hitler uses it. The clip goes on, and the professor there, the kind of mad scientist, says, this will make the good in you better and the evil in you worse. When you think about the greatest leaders in human history, so many times they shared a lot of the same gifts. But some used them for great good and others for great evil. And the reality is, history hinges on the lives of saints. How many of us this weekend are going to embrace the furious love of Jesus Christ? How many of us are going to enter into the gate where Jesus Christ leads us forward in glory and in love and in mercy and in hope? I believe, y'all, that he is raising up a generation, an army of saints who can be the piercing bright lights of our increasingly dark and despairing world. Check this out. This is from John 10, beginning verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. Only moments before, Jesus says this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus wants us to find pasture this weekend. He wants us to come to him with all of our brokenness, all of our woundedness, and all of our hope and all of our aspiration, all of our youthfulness and all of our zeal. He wants to transform it from the inside out. He wants us to believe that not only are our sins forgiven at the cross, but we're delivered from those sins. He wants to give us grace to never commit those sins again. That's what happens in every confession. Do we also believe that the same power, by the way, that rose Jesus 3 days later from the dead can resurrect our hearts this weekend? Jesus wants us to know how madly, deeply, in love he is with each of us. The good shepherd. He's also the hound from heaven, and he's nipping at our heels tonight. Let's say yes. With the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the angels and saints, let's say yes. Let's enter into that gate and come with joyful expectation. For the God of the universe not only loves you, but he even likes you. He's quite fond of you, and he can't wait to spend time with you this weekend. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.